we begin to see something about the insights of what it means to be a father and what it means to be a husband. Because both of those are roles are called for by the Lord. And both of them are male roles. Well, all of those that are confused out there, those are male roles. They're male fathers and male husbands. And God in the beginning created he, them. Man and woman, he created them. There is no discussion when it comes to the Bible. It is absolutely correct. So I'm left to ask the question, what is the strongest motivation of a man? And actually, I've been told many times, and it's confirmed by studies, that the most instinctive thing that a man does is be a protector. He's a protector. Men are wired to be protectors. The Hebrew word for that is shomrim, which is shomer in Hebrew, shomrim. And to shomer, which is the action of doing that, is to guard, to protect, to guard, to it is a high calling. In the military, guard duty is one of the highest callings there is. When you're training to become a military person, you're usually given two tours of guard duty, and they last all night. And you are actually handed orders, and you're handed a weapon. And you are up all night guarding that area, even if it's in peacetime. In my case, it was Fort Benning, Georgia. And so I guarded this one place in Fort Benning, Georgia, according to my orders. At 5:30 in the morning, here comes a sergeant marching his troops. And my orders were still in effect. So I said, "Halt, who's there?" And he looks at me, "Cadet, you know who I am." I'm reading what it says. "Halt, who's there? Identify yourself." And he realized what was happening. And he started to come forward and said, "No." And when he did move forward, I took my weapon. And it wasn't loaded. He knows it. But you don't know that. And it could have a chamber in there. Anyway, "Sir, my orders are," and I read the orders, "you are not trespassing, so on the ground." So I made him and his squad on the ground. About 5 minutes later, here comes a truck to relieve me. And the sergeant that was driving the truck couldn't stop laughing because he got what he was coming. It's that serious. I was not in trouble because I did my duty. That's the very same word that the Lord used from the very beginning. At the very beginning, he told Adam and in the garden that there was two things that he was supposed to do. And one of the words in Hebrew that he uses, he was to shomer the garden, to guard the garden, and to guard the way of the tree of life. He failed because he didn't guard the garden. Otherwise, what is the serpent doing there? In chapter 3. So at the beginning of all things, regardless of what you've been taught or heard, it wasn't the lady that made a mistake. I mean, she did, but it was as a consequence of the man not keeping his position, not doing his guard duty. He should have taken his weapon, which is, you know, weapons of our warfare are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds, and told that serpent to get out of there. And not even allow any such thing. The serpent is an animal from the field. And the Lord specifically, read the words and read it again and again, and you'll understand that he was given orders to guard a certain place, and he didn't do it. As a consequence, the serpent came and spoke to the woman. The woman is unprotected at that point. Do you understand what I'm saying? I hope you understand what I'm saying. That when you don't do your job, man, then your family, beginning with your wife, is unprotected, shown to us right there in the garden. She's unprotected. She's by herself. Where is he? I've heard many jokes talk about he was taking a nap. Okay? Or he was working on his car. Some say he was playing golf. You know, whatever it was, he wasn't on duty. He was supposed to be on duty, but he wasn't. He was supposed to shomer, but he didn't. And as a consequence, all that stuff happens. All because he disobeyed the orders. This is a legal matter when it comes to soldiers. Because according to the Uniform Code of Military Justice, if you fail in guard duty, you're punishable by court-martial. Do you understand what I just said? Because that was made very clear to me in 1967. And then again in 1968 in Fort Bragg, North Carolina. So I guarded the woods in Fayetteville for a while as well. At least 2 weeks. And if they wanted to punish you, you get three. And you sleep all night, and then you from there you go and do your regular duty all day long. So there was not like, you finish guard duty and have a nap. You finish guard duty and go take. You finish guard duty, and there wasn't time. The sergeant said, you don't have time to eat. Let's go. Not even any breakfast, which is my favorite meal. It's always been my favorite meal. The military could actually cook eggs pretty good. So I would enjoy that, and they were not available. So, and if we were in the range, which happened a lot in during the Vietnam War time, then we ate sea rations from the Second World War. My favorite was chicken, canned chicken. And my favorite dessert was something like a little cake that had something in it. In a can. You got a little P-32. Open it up and sit down, and your helmet, which in those days we also wore steel helmets. Helmet was the seat, sometimes the table. Guard duty and the job of shomer is very important. God revealed to the prophet Malachi, through prophetic foresight, one of the greatest and most urgent problems that will be in the day of the return of the Lord, which we have to say our day classifies. Why? Because the thing that Malachi emphasized was that there would be delinquent fathers and unparented children. Delinquent fathers and unparented children. Economists and social legislatures give many diagnoses and they give many solutions. But at the root of the problem is the family unit, the eroding family unit. Parents, now I use more than just men, parents have reneged on their responsibilities to their children. Walls that were protecting our wives and our sons and daughters are being broken down in ways that fathers did not foresee because they abandoned this guard duty mentality. The result is that wholesome, committed young people, okay, and they are increasing in their away from the Lord, and you think that believers are exempt. You should read George Barna. And the Barna studies show that the latest Barna studies show that there is absolutely no difference between the Christian church and the world and the society. My friend, that's bad news. It's been getting there, but it's bad news. You get into statistics that Barna also compiled. And one of them is that the amount of men in society that are addicted to pornography is the order of 80%. Pastors are 75. Yay, 5%. Pastors. That means that's equal in the church than it is outside of the church. So what's going on? What's going on is primarily that we, fathers and men, are really falling to the same vicious circle that began with our father Adam. And it wasn't until Noah came along that there was even found one that the Lord could show favor on. And with him, he saved the world. Now he comes, the next one. In the beginning of the walk of faith for men, the beginning of the restoration for men after the destruction of the days of Noah and all those things comes with Abraham, who came out from his father's house, who came out from idolatry and all those things, and followed this city even though he didn't know where it was. He went, and the Lord didn't tell him, here's your destination. Just go. Imagine telling your wife, honey, we are going. Where are we going? I don't know, but we're going to pack the whole car and leave. I don't know how many men have the chutzpah to even say it, much less do it. Satan knows that young people have the potential to do great damage to his evil kingdom. And they have, young people have unprecedented opportunities to advance the kingdom of God. The problem is that guilt lies with both parents. Maybe 40 years, 50 years ago, you could say, well, it's like Leave It to Beaver, if you know. Or you know, the shows about fathers. There was not ever a whole lot of shows about mothers. Mothers don't need a show. It's hard work. Because guilt lies with both parents. There is a primary responsibility. And if you're a male, that's on you, my friend. I'm not any different than I've been for 43 years since getting saved. The issue has to start somewhere. And it starts with us. The issue has to stand somewhere, and it starts with us. It began with Abraham, not Sarah. Not Sarah. It continued, not Rebecca. It continued, not Rachel, not Leah, but it went from Abraham to Isaac and to Jacob. And the Lord hasn't changed his ways, because the Bible says he doesn't change. In Malachi, he says, I am the Lord and I change not. What's needed right now are strong, committed men. The name of the message today is we need strong, committed men. We need strong commitment to right the ship. It's very appropriate to use the word righting the ship. You don't right the ship in seconds. Stephen can right his car in seconds. And he can take his car to the racetrack and do certain things in seconds or fractions of seconds. But a big old ship in the ocean, it doesn't move that fast. It moves, but it doesn't move that fast because it has to be righted. And the righting of a ship means to actually aim there, and you don't get there instantaneously, but you keep going, and sooner or later that ship will right itself. I have had the privilege to park ships, to moor, as it's called, moor a ship. Very interesting. You approach it at a 30, 35 degree angle. And when he gets to the corner, the front of the ship hits the tires, then you immediately turn the rudder the opposite way and crank up the engine. And you use that as a fulcrum point, and the engine just pushes the other ship, and it doesn't move. This is not what I wanted to do. I was an army guy. I ended up in a transportation boat company in Palatka. So I had to learn those things. I want to illustrate for you that in this parashat, Abraham models for us strong spiritual leadership. He models the kind of leadership that we need to model about. It's not just that, oh, he's the father of faith, therefore have faith. He actually models for us being a husband, being a father, and all those things are in here. In today's portion, we see that not every man at that time had it together, because we see Abraham's nephew, Lot, fails to fulfill his duties as a husband, a father, and a shomer, a guard. And it brings disaster to his whole family. We in this parasha, we're told that Adonai chooses to reveal to Abraham the future. I've spoken on this before. That's in Genesis 18, in verse 1 and verses 17 through 19. And the scripture is very precise. It says, the angel of the Lord, whom is called Adonai by Abraham, and the Bible says, Yud Hey Vav Hey. So this is not just some ordinary angel. Okay, the angel of Adonai, the messenger of Adonai, Yeshua, okay, appears unto Abraham, and he greets him, my Lord. You don't greet angels, my Lord, okay? And the scripture is very precise. Prior to this greeting, they're walking. He's walking with two other angels. And we can go ahead and surmise. It's probably Gabriel and Michael, but the Bible doesn't say. I think there were a good escort, huh? And he said right hand and left hand with you know, the messenger of Adonai. And he begins to, just before he speaks to Abraham, he talks to the two angels. And he says, shall we reveal unto Abraham what Adonai is about to do? Seeing that, Abraham will guard his children and, you know, lead his children in tzedakah, okay, and mishpat. Tzedakah is works of righteousness, and mishpat, the mishpatim, are the statutes. For I know Abraham. That's the word ayodea, Abraham. The word yodea can only be used when there's intimacy. And it can be used with the Lord. It's not used from man to man and man to woman unless they're married. Ayodea, Abraham, I know that he will do this for his family. So therefore, shall we reveal to Abraham what we're about to do? Well, keep reading, because he does. And when Abraham is told what's going to happen, it's about to happen, he engages in a old-fashioned Jewish back and forth. Oh, you're a righteous man. Would you not destroy Sodom for 50? How about 40? How about 30? How about 20? He could have gone to zero, right? But he went to 10. Then he stopped. I've spoken here many times that 10 is the number, very likely the number of people that were related to him that were in Sodom. So for the sake of his own family, he stops at 10. And he's feeling like, well, you know, these 10, they were raised in the same house that I did. They've been with me all this time, and they separated. They have instruction and so on. Maybe they'll get it right. But when the angels get over there, the Sodomites want to have sexual relations with the angels. And Lot, in desperation, says, you can have my daughters. They already promised to be married. It's implied. And no, we're not interested in the females. We're interested in the men. Come on now. It's not called, they're not called sodomites for any no reason at all, right? In sodomy, last I remember, is still in the statutes of this state. Go read it. They haven't taken that up because that requires a constitutional change. And the majority of states have not changed their constitution to remove sodomy laws. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? The government doesn't even pay attention to their own laws. He can rely, the implication is that Adonai can rely on Abraham to be faithful in his manly duties. This is the basis upon which God promised Abraham that he would become the head of a mighty nation, and that all the nations in the earth would be blessed through him. If Abraham's faithfulness results in a blessed and prosperous nation, a nation, the worldwide nation, let me ask you a question. What happens to a nation whose fathers fail in their primary obligation? If the Lord is saying, because Abraham is faithful and he will train his kids and all these things, I can reveal to him my plans. What happens if their parents, if there are fathers especially that fail in their primary obligation? Let me give you some hints. The scripture actually answers that. Deuteronomy 28 verse 41 says, you will father sons and daughters, but they will not belong to you. Part of the curse, you will father sons and daughters. They will not belong to you because they will go into captivity. Let me tell you that young people, sons and daughters, have been captivated by the enemy. They're inside enemy camps, in their heart and in their minds. All you need to do, if you don't believe me, ask Sean Fergus, because he's in the schools right now, and ask Stephanie. She's been in the school until just a couple weeks ago or so. And then current, ask Candace, who's also in school. And she has little bitty ones. And she often has said, you know, I sometimes don't know what to do except cry. I don't know what to do except cry. This is serious, my friend. What a shock. What a shock when one realizes that not enjoying children is actually a curse. I want to ask you a question. How many parents do they enjoy their children? Not many. Okay? I know you do. Else, me and Joe would be after you. What is the reason? I believe this is a curse for disobedience. Adonai made children the greatest blessing, Psalm 127. The greatest blessing that he could give a family was children. And yet, we don't think that's all that important anymore. This is the greatest gift you could give to mankind. When fathers and mothers, but especially fathers, do not walk in the way of the Lord, Haderech Adonai, because this is what the Lord said about Abraham, that he will guide his children in the way of Adonai, Haderech Adonai. He will shomer his children so they can stay in the narrow way, in the path of Adonai. When we don't do that, their sons and daughters, for those people, become are no longer a blessing. And instead, move from blessing to curse because there's nothing in between. The Complete Jewish Bible translates Deuteronomy 28:41 literally when it states, you will father children, but they will not belong to you. That's what the Complete Jewish Bible translates that verse at. You'll have them, but they don't belong to you. I want to ask you the following question. Isn't that not being fulfilled today? How many people have children that the state feels that they have responsibility of, take them away, etc. In fact, in many places, it's already the primary thing of that particular state and others that it is, they belong to the state. My friends, this is communism. This is exactly what happens in communism. Countless broken families and children no longer belong to their parents, but they belong to the state. Are you kidding me? Let me also say that parents and children are estranged from one another. And I would say that that's true here. You know, the shoe fits, wear it. Let's see if I were to ask the question, and don't answer the question. It's rhetorical. If I were to ask the question, how many of you know that your children are walking with the Lord? Stand up. I think there would be more people sitting than there are people walking, standing. And this is a real congregation here. This is people who are really committed here. What do you think is happening in the rest of Christianity? The failure of strong male leadership opens a door for the evils that Satan brings, and it comes and it follows. Let me just tell you that Adonai's word confronts modern civilization with two alternatives. Either become a spiritual leader and restore the family relationships and survive. Hear what I'm saying. For those of you that didn't stand and couldn't stand, and even if you did stand, you need to restore family relationships and survive. Or you're going to allow family relationships to go the way they've been going in the last decade and continue to deteriorate. If we do, we'll perish under God's curse. However, the final outcome of this crisis, however you want to think about it, is going to be decided by one subgroup. And that's us men. We have to take the lead. The Lord holds men primarily responsible from the very beginning to do the work of a shomer. In God's message to Malachi, he said, I will turn the hearts of fathers to children. Isn't that interesting? Not to their children, but the children in general. That's another problem with men. We think that it's mama who's supposed to do everything. Mama's supposed to teach them. And mama's supposed to pray for them at night. And mom, you know, I do my part. I earn the money. That's not it, my friends. We've got to become 100% vested. And the thing is that it's our responsibility, the education of the kids, and the education of the kids in the things of God. We're responsible, or we want to delegate it to mama. What a bunch of wimps. We delegate it to mama because we're not strong enough in the things of God. And therefore, you know, I feel awkward leading the prayer. And I feel awkward leading the kids and all these things. You feel awkward? I got news for you. Go sit in the toilet a while and figure it out. Figure it out. Either you can stay pooping or you can figure it out and just get on with the program. God's program is requiring men. And I am talking to a bunch of men that are here today. And anybody else listening on the live stream. When the hearts of fathers return to children, then the Lord will cause children to return to their own fathers. So So how do you get your son and daughter back? Father, just go ahead and keep doing what you've been doing. Goodness sake. Either that or stop. Man up. Man up. And start saying, okay, it's my responsibility. And quit relying on her to do it all. Start leaving. If I didn't see that 100,000 times in my lifetime, I'm not exaggerating, and I'm known for exaggeration. I'm not this time. It's so convenient. Oh, no, you take care of it. I got to watch the game. No, you take care of it. I got things to do. Well, my wife wasn't in that deal. She read the Bible and said, hey, no way, honey. If the kids are going to get prayed for, I'll pray for them. But it's not the same. Because when Yeshua said he would keep the demons from coming in, he said, the strong man of the house. Are you the strong man of the house, honey? To which I would have to say internally, I better become that. The truth of the matter, I could really say, no, I'm not. But I'm going to be. I'm going to be. I'm challenging all of us here. And if you're a single parent, you wear that title. If you're a single parent, it's, you know, for whatever reason, death or divorce. If you're a single parent and you're the father, you wear both hats. You're a single parent and you're a mother, you wear both hats. So, this is not necessarily totally gender dependent. It's leadership dependent. And the leader is whatever the leader is. If there's a husband and a wife, it's the husband. But if all there is a husband, then he is the husband and the mama too. And he has to, for his daughters, he has to go buy certain things that he's uncomfortable with. Or try to find some lady to take her. In our day, God is judging us with our children. I remember 1996 in a conference in Atlanta, Georgia, over there across the street from where the Atlanta Braves play now, which is called the Battery Atlanta. And we had a conference there, and there were a bunch of men getting together. It's called Restoration Foundation, and there, and the leader of the church that I belonged to at the time, and I was a minister and all that. And they were, going through the rigmarole, and at some point, the Holy Spirit got a hold of me. Watch out. And I stood up and said, Where are your kids? Everybody looking at me like rhetoric answered. I asked it first to the leader of the church. Is your daughter serving the Lord in the church? Then I went bishop by bishop. It was not funny. Marilyn said, oh my God, I thought you were going to be. She said, well, you should not pray for me to get the Holy Spirit. Leave me alone and I'd be all right. But I just went ahead and pointed it out. And then stood up and to every mostly men there. Hey, it will not happen in my house like it's happening in yours. I do not intend for my children to be second-class citizens or be forgotten for the ministry or any such thing. We will serve the Lord together, my family and I, or else. Or else I'm a failure and I'll stand here and admit it. I'll come back and admit it to you. And the place was silent. Nobody rebuked me and nobody said a word. The commitment drove me to do a lot of things different in my life. But the commitment, once made and followed through, I can tell you that I have three children. two boys and a girl. And all three are serving the Lord. One is here, one is in Israel, and one's in Dothan, Alabama, which is enemy territory. One is in the Baptist church, but he's one of the top elders in that, and is thoroughly 100% committed to the Lord. So is my son, so is my daughter. I'm not bragging, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about that there was a point in my life that I had to make a decision. And that was going to cost me, and it cost me starting right away in 1996. Because no one said a word to me. When we got to the hotel, Marilyn said, whew. I said, I think if they offer you a pastorate, it'll be in Timbuktu somewhere, you know, there. You're not getting any mainstream churches or anything like that. I said, I'm not interested. You know, I'm not just standing here because I got some degree somewhere. And so some of this has been paid for and continues to be paid for. And it breaks my heart to see so many of you men wimping out. Stop it. Stop the wimp part. There are many voices that say that believers should become socially relevant. You hear that all the time. Believers need to become involved in politics. Believers need to become relevant in all kinds of ways. However, there's no greater area in society that a congregation like ours has an opportunity to become socially relevant in the area of family life. That has to be a number one thing for us. If we do, and we're responsive to family life and family things, we recognize that this is an urgent crisis in our time. There cannot be any compromise. There cannot be any compromise with the humanistic forces that have infiltrated the body of Messiah in these last three or four generations. I think we need to adopt the word watchmen, which is the literal translation of shomer. Adopt the word watchmen. We are supposed to watch first over our wives, watch over our family, and then watch over our congregation. If you think that it's just going to be me, I got news for you. I can only do my part. We are spread out congregations. Some of you are in Timbuktu. No, I'm not going to say. You know, there are counties. Levy County, you know, whatever you are. Gilchrist County and Columbia County. But there can be no compromise. We've got to become spiritual watchmen over our families, over our community, over our congregation. As men and women, we need to embrace the first responsibility and command that was given to mankind. And it was to guard the garden of the Lord, to guard the inheritance of the Lord, to guard and shomer the way of Adonai. It's interesting to me that in Genesis 18, Adonai makes a connection between guarding the way of Adonai and being a good parent. Evidently, there's a connection between being a good parent and the way of the Lord. If you want to know what the way, Haderech Adonai is the way of the Lord. The early believers were called the followers of the way. The followers of the way. I think that's a really good title. Christians doesn't cover it. But followers of the way requires something need to be done. We need to be very jealous and zealous about the way of Adonai. The way of Adonai is encumbered in one person. It's called Yeshua. Yeshua is Haderech Adonai. Yeshua is Haderech Adonai. So therefore, let us embrace our responsibility and guard, shomer, watch the way of Adonai in our community, so that Adonai will be compelled to reveal his plans to us. If we are doing our job, Adonai will give us his plans. He will tell us ahead of time before there is a Sodom and Gomorrah that's about to go down. And will give us the opportunity to go and save some people. You're looking at me saying, you don't know my family. I certainly don't. If we compare notes, we might conclude that they're about the same as mine. Or we might conclude that mine are not any better. In fact, they're worse. Just conclude that. However, I'm still just need to be quiet. Don't tell them nothing. Well, I can't be quiet. I think we have a responsibility. And it starts with getting your heart right. Are you committed to guard the way of Adonai? For your family, for your jurisdiction, for your wife? Are you that committed? Or do we need to just continue to be a women-driven church? Where is Honeydew? He got squashed. His ego is bruised. Okay, Honeydew, get off the dadgum field and let's get this going. Let's bind together as men and lead. And lead. And, you know, there's some ladies that don't have husbands here. So they're depending on us to be leaders in the congregation. You notice I was careful not to invite today. To invite ladies to join us up there. When I always invite everybody to come pray. But today was about the Lord called for the elders. In the Hebrew word and the Greek word both kind of imply men. Let's not get into, you know, whatever. Can the Lord use a woman? Absolutely. He certainly used Phoebe, and he used Mary Magdalene, and he used Priscilla. It's listed in the Bible, Priscilla and Aquila. Really? Marilyn and Tony. How you like that? Amelise and Stephen. How you like that? Huh? Come on now. Lynn and Bill, how do you like that? You know, Michelle and John, how do you like that? Candace and Dan, how do you like that? Okay, we go, well, that's okay, she's good. She is. She needs a man, not a wimp, not a chimp. He needs a real one, a real man that will actually respond to Adonai. And I feel like one more time, for the 1,000th time, I'm calling for us to do that. So let's stand. And I want you to find the nearest man. I could get excited and say things. Find the nearest guy around you. Either extend your hand towards them. You don't have to, but if you want to get near, that's fine. Extend your hand towards, you know, Michael. Let Michael, stand up, Michael, so we can extend our hands towards you and others. And let's ask the Lord to give us strong men. Let's ask the Lord to promote the men in our congregation to take their place and to lead. And the ladies will be very happy when that happens. I guarantee you that they would be the happiest. So Father, in Yeshua's name, I pray for each male, each man in this congregation. Each young man. So hey, Jacob, we're including you early in this deal. Okay? Ones that are about to get married, we're already including you. And you're not even thinking about being a father yet. Just thinking about being a husband. Well, guess what? They both come with their same kind of calling. And let's ask the Lord to anoint these men to do their job. So, Father, in Yeshua's name, you see them, Lord. You see all the males that are standing in the congregation right now. You see the ladies by them. And sometimes the mom is holding on to the son. But Lord, let the sons and the fathers and the husbands rise up. And let them be committed to Adonai. In such a way that we will bring about a turnaround in our congregation. A turnaround in mindset. A turnaround in how we speak about it, how we think about it. Let's just be owners of what was given to us. Pick up the rifle and challenge the enemy by saying, stop! Who goes there? You can use the Bible as your orders. And if you say, are you in this Bible for good? Or are you not in this Bible? If you're not in the Bible for good, then you're for the other guy. And I'm authorized to execute on you, whatever. Get out. I mean, kick him if you can do nothing. You can always kick. You can always kick and bite. Let the enemy be far driven from here. Father, I pray for the ladies that their husbands are not yet. They're nice husbands. They give the ladies a lot of room. I'm going to tell you something. They need more than nice husbands. Our society needs strong men committed to God. And Father, I pray for in our congregation that would be so. In Yeshua's name, amen.